eternal, gracious, loving Father, we draw nigh to Thee this Sabbath evening. And it is our prayer, Lord, that Thou would draw nigh to us. And O gracious Lord, we pray that through Thy Word, we will this evening experience a sense of Thy nearness. We ask Thee now that Thou would grant us the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might, Lord, preach the whole counsel of God, lift up the name and the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His thrice holy name we pray. Amen. We are very often challenged in our hearts by the exploits of great men and great women of God. We admire what our missionaries have accomplished for God in some far-off land. We read with interest how God has used certain preachers with great effect, as they have spread the message of the gospel of saving grace. And we have been struck with admiring awe when we have read about those who by faith have accomplished great things for God. They who have through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stop the mouths of lions. We've often wondered, I'm sure, how the martyrs in the days of the Reformation were able to stand by their convictions and choose rather the fires of martyrdom rather than deny their Lord. We admire them. We laud them. We thank God for them and for their memory, but we have often wondered, how could I do that? When we have considered the lives of such spiritual giants, we have perhaps become very discouraged. Discouraged because in the light of their strength, we see our weakness. In the light of their courage, we have been humbled when we consider at times our own cowardice. In the light of their accomplishments for God, we see just how little we have accomplished for God. In the light of their great faith, we lament the weakness of our faith. Yes, we can be discouraged, feeling that we could never reach the spiritual heights the giants of faith have reached. Yet, on the other hand, we can take encouragement. We can take encouragement from the fact that the best of men are only men at best. That the greatest soldiers of Jesus Christ had their moments of fear and weakness. We know how Abraham, the father of the faithful, how in a time, in a moment of weakness, turned and went down into Egypt and almost lost his wife Sarah. Was forced to lie concerning her. And yet here was the great and the mighty man of faith, Abraham, and yet in that moment of weakness, he went down into Egypt. The best of men are only men at best. We know that David slew the giant of Gath, yet He himself was slain by the beauty of a woman. Best of men. And only men at best. We know that Samson, that mighty man of strength and power, Samson slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, yet he was overpowered by the charms of a woman. We know that Elijah summons fire from heaven, slew the false prophets of Baal. Then, in a moment of weakness, fled for his life upon hearing of the threats of Jezebel. In a strange way, it is an encouragement to us when we read of Elijah and read about Elijah that in spite of his great accomplishments, according to James 5, verse 17, he was a man. He was a man. A man subject to like passions as we are. So when we see him in the slough of despond, when we find him in the valley of despondency and depression, we can immediately identify with him because we can say, I have been there. We may not easily identify with Elijah when he stood there on the top of Mount Carmel as the champion of Jehovah and summons fire from heaven. But we most certainly can identify with Elijah. We find him sitting there under the juniper tree in the slough of despond in his weakness and frailty. We can look to Elijah. We can say, we have been there. We can identify with Elijah there. Let us look at the spiritual depression that Elijah suffered from following that great event on the top of Mount Carmel. Let us first of all consider the reasons for his spiritual depression. Before we can consider the cure for spiritual depression, we must discover the reasons for it. The great prophet Elijah found himself suffering from that awful spirit of despondency and dejection. He suffered from spiritual depression, first of all, following his successful fight with the prophets of Baal. Elijah had only just seen great things accomplished for God. And that day that Elijah stood on the top of Mount Carmel, he summoned all Israel. And really what Elijah was doing, he was engaging in a battle. He was involved in a fight with the religion of Baal, with the false prophets of Baal. And as he engaged in that battle, the God was pleased to give him a mighty victory. He had seen fire fall from heaven in answer to his prayer. He had seen the false religion of that day dealt a body blow when 450 prophets of Baal were slain. He had witnessed another great answer to prayer when, after 3 years of no rain, a cloud suddenly appeared a cloud, albeit but the size of a man's hand. But nevertheless it appeared in a clear blue sky. A mighty answer to prayer. A wonderful victory. And also, with the ear of faith, Elijah could hear the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah had experienced a great time of success and a great time of victory. Now we find that a very short time after that victory, it would almost appear the very next day, where is Elijah? He's no longer on the mountaintop of victory. He's deep in a valley. He's in a wilderness. He's under a juniper tree. He's wishing he was dead. He's in the slough of despond. He's suffering from spiritual depression. Dear child of God, so often that is the case. So often spiritual depression gets a hold of us immediately following perhaps a great time of blessing. Perhaps a time of blessing when God has been pleased to take us up the mountain and shown us His power. We often are overcome with spiritual depression after God has perhaps given us a mighty answer to prayer. No sooner standing on the mountain, we're down in the valley. Peter, with the other disciples, you remember, had enjoyed the wonderful time of communion with the Lord Jesus. They had celebrated the Passover with Christ. There that night the Lord had laid aside His garments, and in love and in affection for His disciples had washed their feet. He had sat with them and they with Him. They had enjoyed communion with Him, and yet just a short time, a very short time after that time and season of blessing and fellowship and communion with the Lord, Peter finds himself in the valley of tears because, having denied his Lord, we read that Peter went out and wept bitterly. From a mountaintop experience, in a relatively short time, Peter found himself in the valley of tears. Believer, that's why we can so easily identify with Elijah, because it has happened to you and I time and time and time again. After enjoying a season of great blessing, we have found ourselves down in the valley of tears. Suffering from spiritual depression. Not only do we see here his successful fight, but we notice also his secret fear. Here we have another reason for Elijah's state, spiritual depression. It was his sense of fear, his secret fear. Look at the opening three verses of this chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. There's his secret fear. Here was a fear that Elijah did not share with anyone else. He hadn't shown any such fear when he stood before Ahab. Chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. No fear there, no hint of fear, no trace of fear. Stood before this wicked, ungodly king, and he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. We admire the courage of Elijah then. We admire the courage of Elijah again. Chapter 18, this time, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah didn't cower under these words. He showed no fear once again, for we read in verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. There's boldness there, there's courage there, as he says to Ahab, thou art the man, you're the trouble, you're the cause of the trouble in Israel. He was as bold as John the Baptist was. And he denounced the sin of Herod. So Elijah denounces the sin of Ahab. He was fearless when others were afraid. Chapter 18, verses 7 to 9, there Elijah meets Obadiah. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. There's no running into the wilderness now. There's no hiding now. We read, and he said, that is, Obadiah said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Obadiah was afraid to go to Ahab and tell him that he had met Elijah, and that Elijah was here to meet him. Elijah showed no fear when others were afraid. So what has happened? Now we come to chapter 19, and suddenly Elijah is afraid. His courage has failed him. When he learns of the threats that were made against him by Jezebel. Once again, here is a common reason for spiritual depression. Fear. Fear! Fear. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of the unknown. Fear of this and fear of that. Let us look to Peter again for another example. You remember when Judas led the band of soldiers, rabble-rousers, into the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest the Lord Jesus. Peter stood there, courageous, with a sword in his hand. And he was ready to take on all of the soldiers to defend his Lord. Cutting off the ear of the high priest's guard. He was ready to face them all. You see his courage. Yet, that very same Peter, that same disciple, was afraid. Not of an army of men carrying swords and spears and shields. No, he was afraid of the words of a maid. a young girl, said, this man was also with him. This disciple, this is one of his disciples, he was with him. And he denied the Lord, saying, woman, I know him not. The same man who was ready to take on an army with one sword was suddenly afraid. And afraid of the words of a man. His courage had failed him and fear gripped his heart. Elijah's courage had failed him also, and fear drove him to the slough of despond. And how spiritual depression is often brought on by fear. Fear of today, fear of tomorrow, fear of the day, fear of the night, fear of the unknown, fear of what lies beyond. Find ourselves then sitting down under the juniper tree. The dear child of God, let us say this, if ever you suffer from spiritual depression and fear is the cause of it, let us say this, there is no need to fear. There was no need for Elijah to fear. Go back to the opening three verses of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Let us just examine the threat made against him by Jezebel. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this. Here Jezebel swore by her gods. But let us ask ourselves, what could Jezebel's gods do to Elijah? Nothing. They were helpless, they were powerless. Why didn't Elijah just a short time beforehand on Mount Carmel, didn't he mock the gods of Baal? There the prophets of Baal tried to summons the attention of their gods, but there was no answer. Because they worshipped gods that could not see and could not hear. Gods that were of no use whatsoever. Gods that were powerless. What had Elijah to fear? Nothing. There was no need for Elijah to sink deep down into the slough of despond, for there was nothing to fear. For Jezebel's gods could do nothing to Elijah. So, dear child of God, there is no need to fear. When we were children, we often feared shadows. We were afraid of shadows in the night. And yet, what could shadows do? Nothing. Powerless. Poor Elijah was afraid of shadows. He found himself in the slough of despond, suffering from spiritual depression because of fear. Then there's something else added to his spiritual depression. It was his sense of failure. Sometimes we speak about an event taking place in our lives as being the straw that broke the camel's back. We've been able to bear up perhaps under many burdens. And then just one more burden comes along. Perhaps not as heavy or not as great as the other burdens we're carrying, but it's just enough to drive us under. Just enough to break us. And I believe that when Elijah heard of the threats that were made against him by Jezebel, I believe that was those threats that was the last straw for Elijah. Because you see, he was carrying other burdens. For Elijah, the threat that came from Jezebel was indeed that last straw. But it was not that threat alone that drove him into despondency. I want you to look at the words of verse 10. The angel of the Lord has spoken to Elijah. Or the Lord himself rather has spoken to Elijah, verse 10, and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." Notice Elijah didn't begin, "I'm here because of Jezebel." That wasn't the reason, or the whole reason. For Elijah says, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." That comes last. That's why we say that was the last straw. For you see, Elijah carried other burdens. There were other things on his mind that had driven him into the slough of despond. It was his sense of failure that troubled him more than anything else. He had been jealous for the God of heaven. For God had done great things in the land, done great things for him. He had seen fire fall from heaven. He had seen the sacrifice consumed. He had seen the cloud the size of a man's hand. He had seen the prophets of Baal slain. And yet, as Elijah looked out upon the land, nothing had changed. Ahab was still king. Jezebel was still, as it were, in control. The idols were still being worshipped. It was as if nothing had changed. And Elijah felt that all his work was for nothing. For Israel had done nothing more than pay lip service to God. Chapter 18, verse 39. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" But the idols were still there. The nation had not turned to the God of heaven from their idols. And Elijah felt that all that he had done was all for naught. There was a sense of failure. Dear child of God, how often has a sense of failure on our part driven us into the slough of despond? How has a sense of failure caused us to be overcome . Sabbath school teacher has been teaching her children for years. She's prayed over them. She's taught them Sabbath day by Sabbath. She's a burden for them. She's wanted to win their souls for Christ. But after all those years, still without God and without Christ, maybe just as rebellious as ever they were. And there's a sense of fear. And the teacher has said, what's the use of going on? And they find themselves in the slough of despond. The preacher has been laboring in the same town for years without seeing any visible change in the spiritual state of that town. And suddenly, there's a sense of failure in his heart. He finds himself in the slough of despond. That's what happened to Elijah. And Elijah said, is it all in vain? Then we notice the solitude that he felt. That which affects all of us in the Christian, life and Christian service is the feeling that we are alone. We read at the end of verse 10, Elijah said to the Lord, I only am left. I feel so alone. He felt very much alone in his battle with the false prophets. Oh yes, Israel had said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. But saying and doing are two very different things. And so it is today. There are those who will say, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God, but where are they when it matters? Where are they when it comes to standing up for the Lord? Loneliness is a difficult thing to handle. Perhaps in our Christian life we find ourselves standing alone. You're the only Christian in your family. And you feel the loneliness of that stand. Or maybe you're the only Christian in your office or your place of employment. And at times you feel very much alone. And you wonder, is there not another Christian around here? Is there no one else to stand with me? Is there no one else to support me? And it plays on our minds. And we're suddenly overcome. Spiritual depression. I only am there. There's the reason. Thank God there's a remedy. The remedy for spiritual depression. Elijah took flight and went into the wilderness of Beersheba. There he wanted to be alone. For we read in verse 3, and when he saw that he arose, he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He wanted to be alone in that wilderness under the juniper tree. He felt he was alone. But we have news for Elijah. And we have news for one and all who suffer from spiritual depression and feel at times they are alone in their stand for God. You are not alone. Oh, you may be in the wilderness, and not a sight or sound of another man standing with you. But you're not alone. For we find that when Elijah sat there under that juniper tree, first of all, he was fine. For we read in verse 5, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. See, he wasn't alone at all. Here then is part of the remedy, spiritual depression. Just knowing, coming to the realization that the Lord Jesus knows all about us. We were singing tonight, moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. In the third verse, we sang, never a trial that He is not there. Never a burden that He doth not bear. Never a sorrow that He doth not share, moment by moment. Hallelujah. I'm under His care. I have read a lot of commentaries in this particular chapter, an incident in Elijah's life. And I must confess that most of the commentators are very hard on Elijah. They come down hard upon him. He's run away. He's left his post. But what about a little understanding and sympathy? For have we not all been where Elijah was? Have we not all felt the loneliness of the battle? Have we not all sat at one time or another down under the juniper tree? Have we not all felt, what's the use in going on? We've all been there. Let's not be so hard on Elijah. Because we are just like Elijah. Have we ever experienced the loneliness that Job experienced? No. And yet Job, in his loneliest hour, was able to say, I know, or He knoweth the way that I take. He knows. He knows all about my bereavement. He knows all about the funerals I've had to attend. He knows all about the children I've had to bury. He knows all about my losses. He knows all about my illness. He knows all about my loneliness. He was able to say, He knoweth the way that I take. Dearly beloved, this evening, if the Lord knew all about Job, and He knew all about Elijah, He sent His angels to touch him, He sent His angels to care for him, then bless God, He knows all about us. That's one of the remedies to solving this problem of spiritual depression. When you feel that nobody else knows and nobody else cares, the Lord knows. And bless His name, the Lord cares. It's part of the remedy. We notice then that he was found. And we notice also that he was favored. For we read there in those verses, 5 through to verse 8, that Elijah lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked. Behold, there was a keg baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7, And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Oh, there's so much we'd love to say tonight about these few verses. First of all, Elijah was favored. He was first of all favored by the touch of an angel. He's not the first man, and he's not the only man to receive a heavenly touch. Read through the book of Daniel and you'll find that Daniel received the touch of an angel and the touch of God at a time when Daniel was very low. In the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples were so afraid because of what they saw. They fell to the earth. And we're told that the Lord Jesus when John on the Isle of Patmos had that wonderful, glorious vision and revelation of Christ, he fell at the feet of Christ as a dead man, and the Lord touched him. It's one of the remedies for spiritual depression. We need a touch from God. Need to pray, Lord, touch me. Remove this spiritual depression. Lift me out of the slough of despond. O Lord, come and touch me as I just touch Elijah. He was touched and he was treated. For we read there in verse 5 again, the angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel came and touched him again and told him to arise and eat. He said, Because the journey is too great for thee. Behold, the care of the Lord for Elijah. He's caring for Elijah. He's saying to Elijah, Elijah, I know the journey is too great for you. The care and the compassion of the Lord. When we suffer from spiritual depression, let us remember that the Lord knows all about us and He knows where to find us and He knows where we are. And He cares. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And the obvious question again is, where did the bread come from? He's in the middle of a wilderness. Where did the fire come from and the coals come from and the water come from? He's in the middle of a wilderness. The Lord provided all for Elijah. Isn't it interesting? Whenever the disciples returned to their fishing, John 21, that the Lord Jesus summons them and said, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And then he invited them, he said, come and dine. And when they came to shore, what did they find? They found coals of fire and food and fish. Where did it come from? Because they didn't have any. And they'd been fishing all night, so they didn't create the fire. The Lord provided for them. This was the first step in restoring Peter and the other disciples in the fellowship with the Lord. It was the first step, as it were, in reviving them and lifting them out of the slough of despond, because that's where they were. They were suffering from spiritual depression also. And the Lord provided for them the food and the fire and the water. We will not be able to lift ourselves out of the slough of despond. We need help. We need the Lord to provide a way, provide a means. And if He provided a way for Elijah, He'll provide a way for us. He cares for us. And He will lift us up out of that slough of despond. We note He was found. The Lord knew where He was. He was favored. And then we notice He had a friend. Isn't it good when you're in the slough of despond or when you're suffering from spiritual depression to know that you have a friend? One who cares and understands. Elijah had such a friend. Look carefully, verse 9, the words of verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him. Read the words again. He was there in the cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And said unto him. It doesn't say the Lord came unto him and said unto him. And that would have been quite all right. But it says the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him. Who is the word of the Lord? John 1 and 1. In the beginning. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh. Who was it appeared unto Elijah that day in the cave? None other than Christ Himself, the Word of the Lord. And Elijah discovered that day that he had a friend that stuck closer than a brother. There is Elijah. The one who appears unto him is the one who is the Christian's best friend. The one who loveth at all times, even when we are down and almost out, He's there. Paul said that there was a time when all men forsook Him. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. He's always there. You notice something else. when the angel appeared unto Elijah. It wasn't the angel who said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" The angel simply supplied the food and the fire and the water. But now we read that Elijah is in Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, where the Lord had met with Moses. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said unto him, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." In other words, it's as if Elijah's friend, the word of the Lord, said, "Elijah, what's the matter? Why are you here?" In verse 10, Elijah pours out his heart to the one who is the Word of God. He pours out his heart to Christ. It's part of the remedy when we suffer from spiritual depression. You just go to the Mount of God. You just pour out our hearts to Him. As Elijah did. "Lord, I'm jealous for Thee. I love Thee. I love Thy cause. I love my land, my country. And yet Israel have forsaken Thy covenant. They have thrown down Thine altars. They have slain Thy prophets. And Lord, I only am left. Lord, I feel alone." Poured out his heart to Christ. And when we're down in that slough, and when we're walking the valley of tears, it's the best remedy. Just tell everything to the Lord. He understands. He understood all about Elijah. He didn't chastise him. He didn't criticize him. He just said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And that was enough to open the fountain of Elijah's heart, and he just poured it all out. And finally, and very quickly, as we don't have time to deal with it all, we have the removal of his spiritual depression. The removal of the spiritual depression. We read in verse 11, "The Lord said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord." And then we read, "But the Lord was not in the wind. And he sent an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and he sent a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire." You know, dear child of God, when we're suffering from spiritual depression, when we're suffering from despondency and despair, we seem to think that we need the Lord to do something spectacular to lift us out of the slough. But that is not always the case. He most certainly did something spectacular before Elijah. He sent a great wind that rent the rocks. He sent an earthquake, and he sent fire. And each time we read, the Lord was not in the fire or in the earthquake or in the wind. It's not always the spectacular that we need, or the spectacular that we need to look for. There are people today claiming that the Lord has done spectacular things for them. And who's to know? The Lord perhaps not even in those things, as He was not in the fire or the wind or the earthquake. It's
So there you have the sights, but the Lord was not in them. That wasn't the cure, or the remedy, or the removal of his spiritual depression. Instead, we have the stillness. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He didn't do that when he saw what the wind was doing. He didn't do that when he saw the earthquake. And he didn't do that when he saw the fire. He was unmoved. It was only when he heard the still, small voice that Elijah was moved. Sometimes, it's just the still, small voice that lifts us up. It's the still, small voice, a word from God. A passing word that some believer may mention, a passing word in a sermon. Just the still, small voice. Or we're reading the scriptures and suddenly there it is. And the clouds are removed. And all of a sudden, the sun is shining. And the spiritual depression is gone. And then we read in verse 15, the Lord had already asked Elijah a second time, what doest thou here? And the second time he poured out his heart to the Lord. In verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return. Elijah, it's all over. The spiritual depression gone. You don't need to spend your days now in this cave. That part's all over. There's a work to be done. Elijah, let's get back to business. And there you have his service. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. See, there was a work for Elijah to do. Dear child of God, when we find ourselves under the juniper tree and feel that there's no use going on, just remember that Elijah's friend is our friend. The word of the Lord is right beside us, whether we're under a juniper tree or in a cave or in a valley or on a mountain. He's there. He still has a work for us to do. When we're suffering spiritual depression, we can't see that. We think it's all over. There's no point going on. But the Lord still has a work for us. Trust that God will bless the word to our hearts tonight. And when we're down and almost out, remember Elijah and what his God did for him there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving Father and gracious God, we do bless thee for the God of Elijah. And we thank thee what thou didst do for Elijah, thou wert able to do for us. And O Lord, when we find ourselves in the slough, or when we find ourselves suffering from spiritual depression, O gracious Lord, may we look around and know that even there in the wilderness, under that dark sky, there we will find the one who is the word of the Lord. For Jesus knows all about our struggles.